One board game that we quite like when we have people around is called Cranium. It looks like this. It's a game that challenges your mental ability with Data Head, your acting abilities with Star Performer, your creativity with Creative Cat, and your word ability with Word Worm. And so I thought this morning would be quite fun to start with a quiz. Well, you can't just come sit here and let your gray matter fall into disarray. I want you to think at least, hey? So it was interesting, really, because at some point we were playing this game, and I know there's a couple of people that will know this answer. My wife, because she was playing it. My children may remember it. And somebody else here might have insight into this next question. But there's this thing going around about 2020, the year. Perfect vision, hey? So this is the question that we have. Which of the following represents the sharpest eyesight? Now, don't cheat. Don't cheat. You're alone, hey? This is all on your own. Is it A, 2015, B, 2020, C, 2040, or D, 1020? Just a moment to think, okay? You're starting to think, well, maybe 2020 is not the right answer because he's making it very obvious. So I know you guys do eye testing, so you're not allowed to answer. I know that ophthalmology is in your family, so you guys are excluded. I know that, oh, you know what? My son may have learned something. This is a big moment for us as a family. Should... A. Huh? No. Oh, glory. Okay, so there's some brains matter. So, yeah, this is the answer. Would you believe the correct answer is? The correct answer, should we? No. Okay, no, just don't reveal it yet. Thanks, Cindy, you're doing well. I would have revealed it already, but I'm not. Okay, so who says A? Okay, hands down. Who says B? Hands down. Who says C? You don't see very well. Oh, and who says, sorry, so that wasn't even scripted, it's just the cappuccino. And who says D? Oh, sorry, everybody. Would you believe the correct answer is A? What? Thank you. That was better than the amen at the beginning of the service. So remember the question, the normal vision is 20/20. But if you read that answer, if you have 20/15 vision, you can see at 6 meters what a normal person can only see at 15 feet or 4.5 meters. So your vision is better than... So normal is what... When we say 20/20, so now I'm in a bit of a quandary because I want to talk about 20/20 and about this is the perfect year for the vision, but maybe we should have done it 5 years ago. Maybe that was the best year for us. I'm not sure. So I'm like stuck now. yeah, I don't know. But it doesn't really matter what year we're in. The best year, I believe, is the year where we press in more to Jesus Christ. The best year is not some number somewhere, but it's the year where we say to the Lord, I want to be more serious with you. I want my life to count more for the kingdom. I want to make a prayer a priority. I want to hear you more when I go to your word. That, I believe, is the year that we need to be seeking after, not some or other number. So sorry if I ruined it for you this morning. I don't know if anybody's preached that preach, but I've seen a lot of stuff on social media about 2020. So our scripture this morning, I want to go to Luke 12, 35 to 40. And so we challenged everybody during December to do some things. One of them was to read the book of Luke. That went around on social media as well. And then we said, let's do that as a church. On December the 1st, read Luke 1. December the 2nd, Luke 2. And it's such a brilliant plan because if you're not sure where to read, just look on your phone what the date is. It's foolproof, mostly. But at some point, I guess, on the 12th of December, as I was reading, I really felt this bit of scripture was a scripture that we need to grab onto this year. And I want to start with it this year. Let's just test this word together. But this is what I believe God wants for us. More than a fancy number, I think this is what we should be looking at. So Luke 12:35 to 40. The section's called watchfulness. Be dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So, more important for me than being a minister, more important for me than being ordained, more important for me than having a title and my wife not having one, which is still a bit of a bone of contention in our marriage, better for me, because Lana's more qualified. Was I meant to add that? I'm sorry, I left that out for some reason. That was silly, wasn't it? But more important for me than all of those things is that I have a life that is rooted in a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Or all of those other things have zero meaning. They fall flat. So my commitment for me, the thing that I'm seeking after this year, is to say, Lord, I want to be that person that's watching and waiting. I don't want to be a speculator and say, this is when Christ will return. But the scripture is saying we need to be ready because we don't know when that's going to happen. And I want to be that person that is ready. So more than all those other things, I want to grab on. And, you know, as I look back at my life, when I've had less time in God's word, big confession by the minister, then I felt less connected to God. It's just how my life has gone. And when I've had less time to spend just waiting on God, praying to him, my life has not been as connected to God as I would like it. And I can look back. In the early days, I didn't realize. But as I've been a Christian for many years, I look back and I realize the importance of spending time with God, of being watchful, being ready, waiting, being in God. As my prayer life has been deeper, I have felt closer to God. So the key words here in Luke 12:35 are, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Let's look at that for a moment. Dress ready for service. I like that that we're called to this place where we need to be ready. Paul picks up the same theme in Colossians 3, a scripture that I just love because of the rich imagery that he uses. He speaks about clothing yourself, taking off, putting on. Colossians 3, 12 to 14 says this, therefore. And I wanted to stop there for a moment because whenever we find a therefore, we've got to know something has happened that's leading us to a place. When we read a therefore, we can't start at the therefore. We have to go back and say, why? You know, we're about to learn something, but it rests on stuff that we've just heard. So this is what's just happened. Just give you a brief overview because I wasn't going to read the whole thing. In Colossians 3, we read about setting your hearts on things above, setting your minds on things above. This might be coming back to you. Then Paul is saying, put to death. And he's got a list of stuff. Put to death these things. Then he says, you must also rid yourselves of these things. So he's got this big lead up. And then he gets to this point. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and own over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You see, there's this place where Paul is saying, put on. And I love that he uses these pictures for me. We put on clothes. We took a bit of time this morning to say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to put on something. I didn't just hop out of bed and arrive here. I know you think that, but took a bit of time. Not as much time as some other people in my household. And then other people in my house were even quicker. But none the bother. But we do that. We've got clothes. We buy new clothes. We get rid of old clothes. We take time. And it needs to be the same. Paul is saying, dress yourselves. Clothe yourselves. Put on. This is important. Not only on the outside, but inside. What is it that, are you clothing yourself with compassion, with kindness, with these things that he lists there? This is important. So we hear, dress, be dressed, ready for service. And now Paul's saying, put on. You know, put on this stuff. We're being called to a place of readiness. This is a dynamic state that we are called to, not a static place. Each day, over and over. It would be real sad if every Sunday I just appeared in the same garb. At some point you'd go, hold on a second. That shirt's looking a little, oh wait, that shirt's smelling a little bit dodgy. But we don't. It's a daily thing. What are you dressing with? What are your clothes that you're clothing yourself with? Good news or bad news? I spoke to somebody at a wedding I performed yesterday, Friday, in Johannesburg. And this lady was from Scotland. So, of course, she was Presbyterian. So we hit it off right away. But she said, and we're talking about different people. And she said the thing that she's most challenged with South Africans is their negative outlook on their country. We're bad news people. But when we go to the scriptures, we're given the good news. And we're torn. You're at a braai. Somebody will mention one of these things. Eskom, taxis, politicians. It's easy to be bad news people. But we live in the light of the one who brought the good news. We need to be people of good news, people of life, of hope, of grace. I'm trying that when I see a taxi, remember I use the word trying, I'm trying to pray for the people who are traveling in that taxi, for safe traveling, and for God's blessing to rest upon that driver. And it's easy to be reminded of that because we see taxis all the time. It's not like you've got to go out somewhere and go, I must put a note on my fridge. Just get in your car. God will point you in the right direction. Sometimes we get stuck on the shalt nots versus the shalts. Shalt nots versus the shalts. Adrian Plass is one of my favorite authors. I've been reading his books again. And he points us in this direction. He says we get stuck on the shalt nots and we need to go to the shalts. In Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We must never downplay sin. The power of sin, the overwhelming influence of sin in our lives. But, do we live with the shalt nots or do we live with the shalts? This verse is talking about the good news, the positive, the shalts. There's another place where Jesus is talking about sheep and goats. Remember that story? We sang that song, that kid's song, I don't want to be a goat. I just want to be a sheep. And that, the definitive thing there for the sheep is not what they don't do. It's what they do. It's not that they are getting rid of stuff, stopping to do stuff, waiting to try and wrestle with the things I shouldn't do. But rather, the verse is about feeding the sick, visiting the prisoners. Whatever you did for the least of these, it's a doing, a shalt. And I'm afraid we gravitate towards the shalt nots. Unfortunately, not only for ourselves. We tend to be very good at telling other people. But we need to be saying, we need to be honest and say, I mustn't live there. I can go there when God leads me and says, sort this out in your life. That's okay. But we need to be living in the place where whatever we did for the least of these is definitive in our lives. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. I quite like this quote that I read. I had it on my phone, never quite sure when to use it. But the quote was this: do you make a mark or do you leave a stain? Isn't that beautiful? Because sometimes we don't, we know we must make a mark, but unfortunately we go and there's just a big old mess, eh? So we need to live lives of hope. We need to be dressed ready for service. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. So then the second part. So we dressed ourselves, we're ready to go, good to go. And then we hear about keep our lamps burning. For us in South Africa, having load shedding, I think we can quite easily relate to this part of the scripture. Keep your batteries charged. Keep your generator ready with petrol. Keep your inverter good to go. But it's a reality. Back in the day, we might not have been able to relate this, but now we can. We can relate to the fact that we need to be ready if there are no lights. In that verse that I read out of Luke 12, there were three pieces where I want to just highlight a couple of words. So Luke 12:37, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Then in 38, it will be good for those servants whose masters find them ready. And then finally, verse 40, you must be ready. You also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is a place we need to be ready. We don't want to think about the end times. But we're forced to a place where we've got to say, we need to be ready whenever it happens. And it's been 2,000 years of waiting. And it might be a long time still, but that doesn't mean we can't be ready. Because when the Master returns, we need to be ready. You don't get ready when he's arrived. You get ready before he arrives. There's the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, and also speaks about oil and lamps and being ready. I'm just going to read it straight out of Scripture. There's no words on the screen. But I just want you to hear it in Scripture, how it's recorded. This is Jesus telling the story. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the doors were shut. Later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So Luke is saying, you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. Matthew is saying, therefore keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Be ready, keep watch. Such important words for us. When he returns, it's too late to do anything about it at that point. And the question he asks in the scripture is, well, the statement is, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Truly I tell you, I don't know you." And how sad would it be if we are not ready and we hear those words, "I don't know you. I didn't know you." Keep our lamps burning. It's kind of like being prepared. I was a Boy Scout. And that was the one thing that was impressed upon us. Be prepared. And it's something that I am still, it's still in me. It's part of my DNA. I have a space blanket in my car, a first aid kit. I have some rope because I've got a half a bucky. And I've got shopping bags all hidden away. It's not all just piled. But it's something that I have, that it just I learned, and it's helped me in many occasions to have that stuff. When my car was stolen a couple of years ago, the saddest thing for me was that I had a lovely tow rope, a tow strap. And I thought, oh, darn, man, I'm going to get another tow strap because they stole my car. It wasn't covered by insurance, the tow strap. But be prepared is something that is not only for Boy Scouts. We're hearing here, be ready, be clothed ready, and have your oil, your lamps ready. Have your batteries charged. Our spiritual life needs to be alive. Jesus is calling us to a place where we need to be serious about the relationship that we have with him. I'm not sure what it is for you this year. Is it Bible reading that you need to grab onto a little bit more? Is it maybe prayer? And one thing that I have to tell you about is that February is our month of prayer. We set aside 1 month in the year where we focus in on prayer. We say, let's pray more than we've prayed before. And so if prayer is a thing where you battle, grab onto some of the opportunities that we make available during that month. We've got somebody coming the second weekend to lead a course called L10T, Luke 10 Transformation. I heard about it when I was in Joburg at a conference. The guy that's running it, Alan Webster, was in our church in Kempton Park. He planted a church when we were in Kempton Park. He's now the mission pastor at the Presbyterian Church in Benoni. It's got a Saint name, Saint Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Benoni. And he's going to be here for a whole weekend and share this course. So maybe if prayer is your thing, set aside those 2 days. It's a Friday night and a Saturday. He's an excellent guy, and it transformed an area of Benoni where drugs and prostitutes were rife. And the police came to the church afterwards and said, what have you done? And they said, we've done this. And they said, it's transformed that area. We're not going to ask you to do that. But if you're battling in this area, take some of the stuff in that month, grab onto it. We have a boiler room where we say, commit to an hour of prayer. If you've never done that, it will change your life. It will change your life. I've had people who have come and done an hour, and then they come back a little bit later to the office and say, is there another slot for me somewhere? That first hour was so amazing. So, yeah, grab onto prayer. Thanks, Cindy. You're doing great. Grab onto prayer, okay. Maybe it's about being more committed about being here on a Sunday. Maybe it's about connecting with people who are Christians. We have some awesome ministries going here where we can connect. Small groups, Friday night if you've got little kids, our ministry in the coffee shop. Maybe it's about sharing with other people. Maybe it's about loving other people. Maybe it's about stepping up into a leadership position, saying, I want to do that, or I believe God is saying that's my thing for this year. So we're all at different spiritual places, different spiritual points in our walk. I think if we had a spiritual barometer and we had to say, where are you? The gauge would be different for everybody. In some people are very similar, but everybody's in a different place. And it'll be so great. I wish I was like a headmaster with a big stick. I mean, it would look so much easier if I could just say, come, move it, get with the program. You're going to spend an hour reading the Bible. You're going to pray for 15 minutes longer. You need to be a leader, run that thing. That'd be so great, hey? But we can't do that. I realize that South Africa's changed. Back in the day, I remember going to the headmaster's office. Anyway, can't do that anymore. See, my boys are out of control. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. As leadership, we can't. But what we can do is encourage you and say, step closer. Do a little bit more than you've done before. Pray a bit more than you've prayed before. Take God a bit more seriously. Step into him a little bit more this week. Grab onto his promises. Dive into his word. I'm going to be sharing, so during the month of prayer, we have a prayer guide that runs for the whole month. Maybe that'll help you. Near the end of the month, we come to the time of Lent. I've never promoted Lent in this church. I've never made that a big focus. But this year, I'm going to put together a Lenten Bible reading plan. So that if Bible reading's your thing, grab onto that for the 40 plus days leading up to Easter. That'll be the end of Feb. But yeah, grab onto the opportunities that we offer. Don't sit back and say, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But try and grab onto something. I'd love to be able to force people, but we can't, hey? So this is what I'm proclaiming today. Be dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. The question, are you dressed, ready for service? Is there something that you need to put on that you haven't been putting on? Are you going to make a mark or leave a stain? Do you have enough oil in your lamps? Are your batteries charged enough? You can't just charge the batteries, put them in the cupboard, remember, and to keep them charged. What do you need to do to be ready? What is the thing that you need to do? What do you need to let go of? It's a great time, this beginning of the year. Your New Year's resolutions are broken already. So now there's place for something brand new, hey? So just let's grab onto something. Let go of something. Maybe you need to embrace something this morning. And then the question that Christ will ask at the end, did I know you? And we just pray that the answer will be, I knew you. I knew you. Be dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. 2020, I wanted to share this. Somebody sent this to me. You don't mind that I share it. Where's my guy? Thanks, big guy. But maybe that's a good way to look at 2020. 20, plenty. Not plenty of stuff, but plenty of God just crashing into our lives. Plenty of us walking into His destiny for us. I just love the ring of that. So thanks, Daniel. 20, plenty. Let's make this a year where God is more real. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Mighty God and Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. You are good. You are mighty. You are strong. You are the one true God. And we want to step into you this morning. We want to be people that are dressed ready for service. We want to be people who are clothed with all of those things that Paul laid out. Compassion, kindness, love, grace. We want to be people whose lamps are ready, whose lamps are burning, that we have enough oil. So lead us each individually to the different places where you want us to step more fully into you. And I do pray, Lord, that this would be a year of 20 plenty, where we know you more, we experience you more. So come now, Holy Spirit. Move in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.